Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, wait. I got a show to do today, don't I? Oh, I've lost track of time. And, wow. You know what? I think we're live tonight on the Rad Reality Show. We'll be back right after this. Let's get going. To the Rad Reality Show, live on Blog Talk Radio.
And you've found the place where you can talk reality TV. We have special guests all the time, and tonight is going to be fun.
Welcome to everyone in the chat room, all the guests that's listening. Welcome. Welcome to the Rad Reality Show.
Call in at 347-237-5506. And when you do call in, push 1 if you want to talk to the host. Because if you don't push 1, I think you're just listening in.
Hi, everyone. Thank you all so much for joining us tonight on this 29th day of December for our last show of 2011. My name is Cherry Garcia, and I'm going to be your host for tonight along with Paul from Minnesota. I hope everyone had a wonderful Christmas out there. And, Paul, how was your Christmas?
It was good. It was good. I had some quality time with my folks as we had like 2 hours each way, drove down to southern Minnesota to my nephew's, so it was good.
Well, that's a nice little drive, 2 hours. That's not too bad.
No, what made it nice is even though it would have been nice to see a white Christmas, they said this is the 9th warmest December on record. We didn't have any snow, so it was, you know, a brown Christmas. So travel was very easy, which, wow. I'm stumbling because I'm looking at our switchboard, and we got dual
I see that
lines, and I'm thinking I'm going to hang up one of them here, see what happens. Anyway, I'm sorry to get off track there, but it's just weird. Boom. All right, I got rid of one. But, and then they also gave us a stat that this is the seventh time in the last 120 years that our December has not had any temperatures below zero. We've been above zero. I think the coldest was like 5 degrees overnight.
Wow.
So it's an unusual one, but I'm not complaining.
It's been warm here. We got up to almost 60 degrees today. It was gorgeous out.
Well, I told you on the phone a few days ago that it might get down there because we had, I think, like 2 or 3 days ago, we broke a record and got up to 52. It was, day after Christmas.
I walked out this morning to take the dogs out. I told my husband, I was like, you know, it's almost, it felt like a spring day. I was like, you know, it feels like spring out. Can we just like switch back now and go right into spring and just forget about winter? You know, it just felt like a spring morning.
Yes, exactly. Or early fall.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. I just wish we could keep that weather, you know, and cruise right on through winter with it and go right in to spring and not deal with any of the ugly winter weather.
You know what? The way I'm looking at it is, okay, we got December out of the way, and it was fairly pleasant, like I said, one of the warmest on record. That means, I just say I was like 3 months before it starts getting warmer again. January, February, and March.
Right.
Oh.
January and February are usually the two ugliest months.
Yes.
And March can be a little iffy.
Yeah, it goes both ways, but by the end of the month, we're starting to turn around.
Right. So, did you have a nice Christmas as far as Santa? Was Santa good to you?
it was an interesting one. I'll put it that way. I'm not gonna go into what I got because it would take too much explaining the background of everything. But no, it was good. It was everything I could use.
Oh, that's good. That's good. As long as Santa was good to you and he didn't bring you a bag of coal.
No. No coal.
That's good.
I apparently was on the nice list.
That's good.
Well,
let's see who we have.
Hi to some of our chatters to begin with. I see some are strolling in here. Hi to Ben, just popped in, and we're awfully big and live on his TV screen, it looks like. He's put his computer onto his TV screen, so... Say hi to Ben, and there's Seymour just popped in, and Face Ones, and Jen Frog, and Lola, Michelle from the Bronx, and Puff, and Red Wine. So some good peeps in there, I would say.
Absolutely. Let's start bringing some people up to say hello. Bronxy, you're live on the Red Reality Show. How are you?
Whoop, whoop, whoop!
How was Santa to you?
Forget about Santa. I'm done with Santa. I'm ready for New Year's.
All right.
Santa bypassed my house. It didn't matter.
All those deer you have and Santa couldn't find his way to your house, girl?
No. The family stayed down. I stayed up. And then there was a crossing the paths. And, well, whatever it worked out. Everyone got to hear my voice, and that was it. That was my gift to them. They got to hear my voice.
How are you feeling?
Feeling better, as you can tell, I think. I think the infection is gone in the tooth, but I'm still going to take the medicine for all those moms out there and people that are worrying. And then we'll just take it from there. Whenever the dentist says, hey, we got approval, I'll be under the knife, I guess.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you have to keep us informed about how you're doing. And
yes, I will give you the drool factor on what happens. You know, how much I drooled when I got the needles, how much I spit on them. I'll give you all the good stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's just what we're waiting to hear. Hi, Michelle.
Hey, what's up, Paul? Yes, I'm definitely can give you, you know, some quick antidotes on what to do and what not to do regarding teeth at this moment. I'm hoping that there'll be some other useless information that will come in and knock this useless information out of my skull.
We've got somebody else on the switchboard that wants to come up. I'm going to bring one other person up with us. Is that okay?
Mr.
Cracker, thank you for joining us. You're live on the Red Reality Show.
Hello.
Hey, how are you? How was your Christmas?
It was very quiet. We kind of had a Bronx type of Christmas. everybody, we kind of told this person we were going there. We told that other person we were going there. We just stayed home and watched movies in our bed.
go. That's kind of how Rich and I do it. We stay home and keep the holiday to ourselves. how we do Thanksgiving and Christmas.
It's uneventful in our house.
It's nice that way.
Yeah. Hey, John.
Hey, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Oh, good. Hanging in there. I'm probably getting over being sick myself. So it was a good 3 weeks that I was pretty sick there. But I'm getting recovered now. So I was really stubborn. I didn't go to the doctor like I should have. But
that's that Y chromosome.
I'm staying away from anything that has to say with chromosomes. I think mine is screwed up. No,
I know, so do mine. Some days I feel like a Y, some days I feel like an X. I have no idea what's going on.
I don't know, I just feel like an almond joy today.
Right?
I just feel like an almond joy today.
Right, exactly, like a little chocolate on top.
Yeah, a little bit like a nut, yeah. I am thrilled that we can end this year. We had a lot of fun, didn't we?
Absolutely. Well, we had some bad times and some good times, but
right. We did have a little bit of sorrow, I think, each and every one of us. And we had some massive sorrow, each and every one of us. But as far as the reality goes and the reality show goes, I think that we knocked it out of the park.
Oh, my gosh. You guys, I have to tell you something. Really, really amazing happened to me yesterday, and I have to share it with you all because you're going to not believe it.
I was
on my high school graduation page from 1988 and from New Jersey. My high school was in New Jersey. And I'm looking at the wall. It's nice to get caught up on old people you went to school with, yada, yada, yada. But I never, ever really ever friend them. But I clicked on this guy yesterday. And I was like, huh, he has 50 mutual friends. I wonder who those mutual friends are. They're all Big Brother people. All Big Brother former house guests. Like, what the hell's up with that? So I was like, why is somebody from my high school, from my graduating year, you know, friends with all these Big Brother people? I thought I was the only odd one in the group. He's the producer of the show, and I never knew it. We graduated in the same year.
He's one of
the producers of the show.
No kidding.
I was like, are you freaking kidding me? I've been out there 3 years running, and I have never even seen or knew you or heard of you or seen you there. So.
Oh, my gosh.
So how fast did that friend request go out?
When I told him who I was, he couldn't believe it. I was just like, because we didn't know each other in high school. So, but it was just an odd coincidence that two people, one fan, one producer, like graduated high school the same year, and there you are. So our worlds kept colliding 3 years in a row, and not until, you know, a couple of days ago did we meet up. So
okay, so now I'm going to have to take something back and say, well, Dirty Jersey ain't that bad then if you came out of it and now a producer and a Big Brother is there. But that's all I'm giving it. I just want to
know exactly what dynamic he produced, but I know he worked closely with Robin Cass because he mentioned her name, and
I know you'll be going to future reunions now.
Well, yeah, I kind of have to. They're telling him, oh, please, stay away from him. We don't want him back here.
Super fan goes super nuts on ex-producer.
He's like, did you guys know John Cryer? I was like, yes, we're well aware. Keep him away. Keep him on the East Coast. Thank you very much.
That is awesome, John. What a great story.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's like, you know, when does, and that never That type of stuff never happens. It was like Harlan says, you live a freaking Forrest Gump life, Don.
Wow.
This stuff doesn't happen to real people.
And I can so take this right into that crazy show, Big Shrimping, if you're talking about Forrest Gump, but we won't
right.
do that to you.
I'm going to have to check that show out.
Oh, my God. That show
Big
is...
Shrimping, huh?
Oh my. Okay. All right. So big shrimping, and I know I said it before, but this show now proves that you do not have to be intelligent and/or have front teeth to be on a reality show, and that even the subtitles are questionable because how are they sure that this is what the guy said? I've gone back and rewound some of these things 3 or 4 times and said, no, that's not what he said. Big Shrimping. I guarantee you it'll at least make it for one more season, but after that, I don't know. They got another one out from Louisiana called the Bayou something for Shrimping. That's another one of those reality Deadliest Catch type spinoffs. But it
is anything
awesome.
Like the pig catching ones or the hog catchers? Or
I'm
what?
Loving those.
What is that one called?
There's two. There's American Hoggers. And then Lady Hoggers.
Oh, Lord.
And American Hoggers is taking place in Texas. And the classic guy is the father. And this guy is just, the things that he comes out with, I called my friend in Texas and I asked her if there was a handbook for some of these things that this guy is saying. And she's like, she hasn't even heard of them. I mean, it's his... hysterical. There was one point, I'm sure I brought this up, but there was one point where he was chasing one of the hogs in his Jeep, and he got stuck in the sand, and he was stuck, and he's spinning the wheels, and he's got a bunch of chew in his mouth, and he's just really grisly looking, and he's spitting, and he turns around, and he says, I'm stuck in there tighter than a wedge in a witch's ass. Maybe I should have told Paul to put up a disclaimer because we might get there.
Okay, here we go. Here we go.
The views expressed by guests and callers into the Rad Reality Show are not necessarily the views of the host or the sponsors of the Rad Reality Show and are for entertainment purposes only. Some assembly may be required and batteries are not included.
Just so we have that out there.
Thank you.
Have you ever watched Lizard Lick Towing?
I caught the end of that. No, Lizard Lick Towing isn't that when they're doing the repoing of the people's cars?
Yes.
And
you talk about somebody that has, like, Southern sayings. That guy has a Southern saying for everything. I mean...
I love it. I would love to have a contest. Like, whatever show you're watching, whatever crazy ass, doesn't matter. I don't care if it's on PBS, if it's off of the History Channel. I don't care if it's Sesame Street. What is the most oddest saying that you've heard for the day? Every day, write one down. And if we can call in and say it and then just goof on it, that would be hysterical. Because, you just never get enough of these one-liners.
I'm telling you, that guy, it cracks me up, some of the things that comes out of that guy's mouth, man. You just never know what that guy is going to say. And they're nuts. I mean, they're nuts. I can't believe some of the things those guys do. I mean, they go and take Harleys from bikers and stuff that, you know, flat out tell them, you know, you touch my bike, I'm going to kill you, you know. And they go off the front porch of the biker's house, go around the back, and take their bike out of the garage, you know? And it's like, I wouldn't do that for love nor money, you know? And these guys are out there, you know, laughing while they're doing it. And it's like, damn, you know, you guys are crazy.
It was hysterical when I first saw the
title.
That's how they
make
When I first saw the title, I had no idea what it was, so I avoided watching it. And it was just recently I came across it, and as I'm thumbing through, I was like, all right, pit stop, because I'm like seeing it says, you know, lizard towing, tongue towing, whatever the heck, and I'm like, wait a minute, these are people repoing the car, and it happened to be the one episode where they were repoing the one guy's car, and the guy went to the repo's guy's house, and he stole his dog.
Yes, yes.
He took his dog, give him back his car. So I'm like, oh my god, you took this guy's animal? I mean, really? So that automatically got me hooked right then and there. It was on the same level as Parking Wars. I was like, yes.
Well, see, they all used to be on the same show that was called Hard Working or something Working. I forget exactly what it was called. And they had the parking people and a guy that served subpoenas and lizard lick towing, all sort of combined on the same show. And then they sort of spun off into their own shows. And lizard lick towing got their own show, and Parking Wars sort of got their own show, and I don't think the subpoena guy got his show, but they all sort of spun off into, you know, single shows. And it was just crazy what, you know, some of the short ones used to be. And now you see the longer one. Now that they have their own show, you really get to see a lot more of what
right.
they do. But I started watching them ages ago, back when it was, you know, little small sections, you know, of that first show, and it's been hysterical. I mean, those people are crazy, and it kind of gets you sucked in once you start watching it. It's like, I can't believe I'm sitting here wasting my time watching this, but I am. I can't look away now, you know. And it gets you pulled in, and You can't believe some of the sayings that these people come up with. Like you said, there should be a contest for, you know, who can come up with the craziest saying.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all down for it. I mean, whatever it is, whatever show you're watching, just document the show and who said it and what was the line, you know. And obviously it works way better if you have, like, a DVR or a TiVo, so where you can pause it to make sure you get every single thing.
I don't know if we could do it for every day. I think we should do it. Like one a week.
You might watch. I'm gonna tell you right now. Like, I probably watch easily 50 to 60 different reality half hour shows a week.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I don't have a life, man. This is what I do. My TiVo is packed.
I did not know there were that many around.
Oh yeah, I completely avoid commercials whenever it is.
I watch a lot of reality, but I don't know that I could do it every day. I don't watch those type of reality shows every day. I watch, like, Real World and some of those types of shows, too, and they don't come up with those kind of sayings.
No, well, like, they're pretty, yeah, they're scripted. When it comes down to Real World, they have it down so well that they pretty much... The production says, go out there and say this, go out there and say that. And then they take it from there, and whatever it is happens. But, yeah, I don't watch, I'm not a big MTV watcher, or, you know, I do watch one particular show that's coming up for season 2 on VH1, but most of the time I'm all over, like, the Discovery or History Channel or A&E or Bio and... You know, just all. Even the BBC has got a couple of off the wall little ones here and there that I will catch, but they've got a lot of tiny little tidbits of things that are out there. I mean, as far as reality goes, would you classify this as a reality or a documentary? I watch The Will, where they talk about the will and the estate of people that have passed away, of famous people like Rock Hudson and Will Rogers and stuff like that. No, I don't watch Jersey Shore. Face One just asked. But, I mean, I watch all of that, too, so I get a little bit of insight in, you know, natural stuff. I watch, you know, the disasters and storms. I mean, I'm, again, easily 50 to 60 different shows. And you tell me a name of something, and it's, I go and I program it into my TiVo, and I'm boom right there. I'm waiting on something on whales, so I'm like TiVoing almost everything that's got to do with whales.
Is there anything you hate that you don't like to watch it, but you do just because it's fun?
Well, okay, I do not like to watch Jersey Shore, so I don't watch it. One show that I did put up with for a really good friend of mine was The Bachelor. And I watched The Bachelorette. And I will never subject myself to that again. I am sorry, but I am tired of watching people throw themselves at one person to compete and then to be okay with him kissing her and she kissing him and, you know, whatever. Oh, my God, no. And I don't even care how well they edit it. I just cannot deal with the Bachelor crap. The Bachelor pad, the Bachelorette, all of that. It's like
Michelle,
not me. Oh, pause.
I'm going to bring one other person up with us.
Sure.
Miss Dina.
Hello,
Dina?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you, sweetie?
So what's this all this mad talk about us Southern people down here in North Carolina?
Oh, no. Hi, Dina. I never said anything bad about North Carolina. I love North Carolina, and I love North Carolina women. So do not get that wrong at all. Big shrimping didn't take place in North Carolina.
No, but we have enough shrimpers down here that talk just like that. I mean,
you guys got your sayings too. I've got a few lines of them coming at me every now and then, and you guys got them straight though.
Well, you know, I always credit that we love the Yankees because they came down here to the South and taught us how to read. So that's how I go with it.
I think it's perfect that you called and set Michelle straight.
Well, I'm off on North Carolina. I mean, you know, I'm still okay. It doesn't matter. I mean, I say that I live in the land of the large and toothless where I'm at. I'm in the woods. All right. The guy down the road from me has a house that looks like the cousin house to Fred Sanford from Sanford and Sons. All right. I'm the only thing I'd say, and this is before my next dentist appointment, is that I got all my teeth. So other than that, you know, no. I'm gonna fender all the way across on the reality shows.
I personally think that they should have a reality show down here in the South, especially in the Charlotte, the Real Housewives of Charlotte, of Raleigh. Give it something really of the South rather than just Atlanta. I'm really hooked on. And a new show that's coming out, well, not really a new show, but I'm really looking forward to the Mob Wives. So I can't wait for that.
We can't wait either, Dina. We can't wait either. That
yes.
was something I was just about to bring up with Michelle. You know, Survivor is over, and so we won't be doing Survivor recaps on Thursdays anymore. So I think we may be recapping Mob Wives a little here on Thursdays. Maybe a little Top Chef.
Maybe. Wow.
And, you know, reality shows is what, you know, that's what we are here to do, is talk about reality shows. So if you have a reality show that you like to talk about or you're interested in, call in and talk about it. But Michelle, I know, watches Mob Wives, and so do I. And
so read
Dina,
up on them. Dina,
you're
did
into
you read
it
up
too,
on them?
So you
well,
can,
cannot.
You can call in and be on the panel as well. Call in and let us know what you think. It starts January 1st. So I can't wait to see what season brings. It's going to be good.
Did you read any of the write-ups, or did you see the trailer for the second season at all?
I have not.
Oh, my God, Cherry. Oh, my God. Let me tell you.
I'm going in stone cold blind.
Oh, my God. Well, I wouldn't go in so blind. They are bringing in a monster personality into the show.
Really?
Yeah. And I cannot wait. Karen's cousin is going to be part of the show. And it is definitely her partner in crime.
Really?
And she is a huge personality. Big history in the mob family. And her name is called Big Ange. Her real name is Angela Rassella. Rayola. My bad. She actually is the niece of Salvatore Sally Dogs Lombardi. Any of the old movies that were made, a lot of times you would hear somebody say Sally, Sally Dogs. Even if you were watching Bio and Mobsters or any of those shows, there was always a reference to Sally, Sally Dogs. And this is the niece. And she's going to bring it. She is a very well-established individual in Brooklyn. She owns major hangouts, major, if you want to call them, dens or social gathering places, bars, clubs. She's got it. And she brings it. Now, the other part that has happened over the from the last season to this season is that Rene Graziano got a makeover.
Oh, wow.
She got
I know she was she was planning to as the season ended last year, so she couldn't wait to have her entire body redone, so
and that's what she had done, and from what I was told, it's pretty intense.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what she looks like.
Yeah, she is, I've seen what she looks like. I think TMZ did a little bit of a snippet on her the other day. But in the trailers, you can see right away the change.
Wow. So
yeah.
Are all the other women coming back, aside from the new one coming in?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, everybody's coming with their fists fully up and loaded. Because where we got left off was with the fight with Drita and Karen at the end.
Right.
So you know that they're going to have to pick it up from there somehow and somehow introduce that they had this small hiatus, because with Renee being under the knife and going through all of that healing, all the rest of the show is going to be about the others until, you know, she is capable to come out and hold her own. A full body surgery, the healing process just on the chemical peel is like 7 days to 10 days on a facial chemical peel. Or a whole body head to toe thing? Oh, my God. I can't imagine how long it's going to be.
Yeah, because she was talking about having a lot of surgery at one time. And, you know, they were trying to talk her out of it and,
mm-hmm.
you know, saying what a bad idea it was, especially at her age, to do the multiple surgeries like that all simultaneously. And she was just like, yeah, I am doing it. I don't care. This is what I want. I get what I want.
Yep.
I'm doing it, you know. And so I can't wait to see what she looks like. It's going to be a good season. I can't wait. So
yeah, you know what? I sort of feel almost at home when I see them. And you know, it is all the crazy. It's the yelling. It's the you know, it's definitely all the vocalness, and you know, it's the in your face comments, and then you know you got the accents that are going on hard and heavy. So I mean, I'm like, you know, I'm dying to, and I'm hoping that I will not be super disappointed in the series as itself, you know. Just knowing that Karen now has completed her book, that was her journey. What happens during that, I don't know. But I'm thinking, well, where are they going to go on the third season? Unless somebody gets pregnant or two of the chicks hook up. I don't know. I mean, I'm already looking into the third season because the second season I know is going to be a bunch of fights.
But it should be good.
They were mad, and you know that they were all against Karen writing this book.
Oh, absolutely. Drita was, I mean, that was the reason her and Drita got into it.
Right.
Was
right.
All about the book.
Right.
So.
And you know, that's going to be lingering. And then now, you know, you have a bunch of other things that are going to be popping up. But how do you make Mob's Wives stay interesting to those that, you know, aren't so interested in a mob's life?
Well, if you remember, I wasn't interested in the show at all. and you kept telling me I had to watch it. I was not interested in this at all, in the least. I do not like to, I guess, promote violence or I don't like to support it. And it seemed to me like watching the show was just sort of supporting or promoting violence and what the mob did and or still does and that kind of thing. And I didn't really want to be a part of it. And Michelle just kept saying, but Cherry, you have to watch the show. You have to just check out one episode. Just check it out. And, of course, I finally caved in and watched one, and there happened to be, you know, it was one of those times when they had two episodes back-to-back showing, and I watched one, and then, of course, I had to watch the second one, and I was hooked, and I've been watching it ever since. So I got sucked right into that, and I love the show now. So
I like the personalities. I really do like the mix of the personalities. I mean, it's bad girls grown up on Brooklyn. You know, I mean, I'm not always looking for them to throw down, but I am looking for them to be vocal. Because
it's really interesting, too. You do get to learn a lot about what they've been through and, you know, what their lives were like when they were younger.
Yes.
And, you know, there is some interesting facts that come out of it. So along with all the throwing down, as you say, there is some interesting stuff that comes out of it. And
a little bit heavier on the T there. Throw.
Yeah. There was a few episodes that they really went at it. And
right.
It certainly has some entertainment factors to it. So
yeah.
I can't wait.
For sure.
It should be good.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be good. I mean, we've got a lot of things that are going to be coming around in the new year.
We'll be going into Top Chef mid-season, so we'll have to sort of catch up on that.
Somebody in the chat room asked about when the new Amazing Race starts. I think you told me, Cherry. It was sometime in February.
February 19th, Sunday, February 19th, is when the new Amazing Race will begin. And we will be coming back with our Sunday shows when Amazing Race starts and covering that every Sunday night. And Louis said that he will be coming back with us, so everything will go right back to the way we've had it with
awesome.
Our Sunday shows for Amazing Race. So I can't wait. With Brendan and Rachel on, that's going to be a fun season to cover.
Yeah, I've already got an issue.
I just have to say, Jeff in our chat room doesn't want to hear any speculation on how it turned out, so don't spoil for any of us.
No.
Then Biggest Loser starts sometime in the beginning of January. What is that date?
Oh my God, I'm the first week. No.
Seems to me it is. I'm searching right now, trying to find it.
I think it's like the next, not next week, but the following week, the 6th or whatever.
The 10th.
Something like that. Yeah, it's definitely like within.
Oh wait a minute! No, that's episode 2.
No, the 6th.
So the 3rd.
Oh, okay.
Wait a minute. Let me back up.
Whatever Tuesday it is, I'm pretty sure it starts.
This coming Tuesday is episode 1.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. I mean, it's, I don't know. They are doing a lot of shooting. They are doing a lot in their production value. I like watching it, but I'm getting a little tired of the same old mush. And, yes, I know that that's part of it, guys. I know. Hearing their backstories, hearing how they go on. But I am a competitor, so I kind of want to see more of the competition come out and people play the game as opposed to always having a heart, because you are trying to win money.
I understand when you call yourself a competitor that would be what you're looking for, but most of them that go there are trying to save their lives. They could care less about winning the money. You know, they're looking to change their lives, and I think that is, well, for me, I'll speak for myself, that's the interest I have, to see them transform their lives and overcome an addiction, which it is for most of them. And that's what draws me. Hey, while we have a little time and I've got the floor here, I need to pass along a congratulations to John Crocker. Jeff mentioned it earlier in the chat a while back. He had not heard that you won the Biggest Fan, and he just wanted to say congratulations to you.
Who is that?
Jeff the Dude.
Oh, dude.
Jeff.
The Dude. Not the dude from San Francisco.
Not Dean? Jeff the Dude. Well, thank you, Jeff the Dude.
John, so being quiet over there.
I just, in the time I've been on the phone with you, I've driven into my driveway and made myself a steak and potato and vegetable dinner. And so now I'm eating it and listening to you all. So.
Yay.
Had to work late tonight.
What other new reality shows are we looking for?
I don't know, but as you were talking about how many you watched, I have the capability on my DVR to search by the context, you know, the description, you know.
Right, me too.
All that stuff. And out of curiosity, one day, I just typed in reality.
Yep.
And I got 500 results back, and it showed like 2 days' worth. I mean, that's how many. It's just amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Wow, I didn't realize there were that many.
It just floors me. Well, I've learned about so many of them on this show, you know, from Ron and from all the fans over the time. I mean, I go, what? Never heard of that. What? Never heard of that. There are plenty.
Yeah, there are tons. I mean, I've seen.
And not only that, the History Channel. I looked up this Big Shrimpin' thing because I'd never heard of that. And where do you find it? But on a History Channel. How is it on the History Channel, which you think I'm going to educate myself, I'm going to learn about, what happened in World War II or the Civil War and all these historical things, and you find, reality shows there. I mean,
it's they're
everywhere.
Getting involved in a lot of the reality shows now. They have the Pawn Stars
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of the reality shows are popping up on the History Channel. And
is American Pickers on that one, too?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
My God. Yeah, American Pickers is awesome. I mean, I'm talking about the old timer down the road here that's got all this crap outside, and I'm sure I can go over there and probably pull something out that's probably from 19th century something and make more than $5 on it. I mean, they educate me, they edumacate me by the crap they go through, but they also totally put my anal cleanliness to a level of like 11 when they're going through all these people's stuff, because it's just hordes and hordes of stuff.
Anal cleanliness is what I want to hear while I'm eating dinner.
Wrong show.
This is now the next reality show.
Oh, man. Yeah, the what did you say? This was on the Bad Sex reality show?
Yes.
Because that is also a freaking TV show, Bad Sex.
And Dina just brought up another one, Storage Wars.
I love it.
I never thought, you know, they'd make
a... Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay. I love Storage Wars. Love Storage Wars. But tell me. Somebody, please tell me you have seen the Texas version Storage Wars.
I watched one episode so far.
Okay, the guy that is just like Barry, his name is called Mo on Texas Storage Wars. He's an actor. I've seen him before.
Yes.
I have to look that guy up. Tell me this, that guy doesn't, I mean, they completely made him the kooky guy. Did you see his shoes?
Also, I used to do that when I had my store. I used to do the storage thing. I went on the whole storage circuit, and I would go up and down the state. I would go into Massachusetts, I would go to Maine, I would go to New Hampshire, When people get on the circuit, you see the same guys at the same auctions at storage units after storage unit after storage place. Same guys. I'm telling you, inflated beyond belief what they find in those lockers on those shows, because it's not like that at all.
I agree.
I feel so sorry for the poor soul that watches that show and will go out there thinking that they're going to make millions of dollars overnight. Because what people don't realize that is in between all of the great stuff that they're showing you, there's 100 or 100, 200 other storage things that you buy that are worth nothing.
Yep. That have nothing but rags and clothes and trash and
I did it for 2 years. My first storage locker I bought, I paid $35 for it. And I got lucky because there was two boxes in that storage locker. It was filled with file boxes. And all the file boxes had used videotapes in them. And the guy had a fetish for recording things. So he put the VHS tape in the VCR, record it for 6 hours, take it out, put another one in, and then date them. So,
oh, my gosh.
I had probably 200 to 300 file boxes with nothing but VHS tapes. And they each held about 50 tapes. So I got all that for $35. But two of the other boxes, were Dungeons and Dragons manuals that he copied, photocopied, and he wrote on the photocopies but never wrote on the originals. And these were from 1978 and 79 when Dungeons and Dragons first started. So I was selling those for $70 or $80 a piece. And I was like, oh my God, I hit the jackpot on the first one, which was a big mistake. I wish it had never happened because we went out and started buying them left and right, and I did not have another hit until 2 years later. It was that. I mean, you would get an okay one every now and then in between, but for the most part, absolute crap.
Broken furniture,
broken everything. So.
I belong to one of those. Several of those listings, but I've never gone to one of those.
Uh-huh.
I do. I'll go to more like a yard sale or an estate sale before I go to one of those, because I'm worried, just like what Dina had typed, that she went to one of those and roaches came out. Like, I don't want somebody else's bugs coming to my house. And I don't
the first locker I had, the one with the VHS tapes, there was also one other item I did not mention.
Oh, come on.
It was somebody's ashes.
Oh my god.
I had no idea what to do with them. I was like, oh my god, what am I going to do with this? So,
oh my god. Well, you can give it to this girl that was on My Strange Addiction, because she was so missing her husband so much that was cremated, she started eating his ashes. But she wound up losing like 140 pounds, but she was eating his ashes. So maybe that's the direction that you can
goodness.
Go.
Well,
yeah.
He's buried
See, this
in
is
my
the crazy bathroom. Crap I watch.
They're buried in a backyard of a house we used to live in because nobody wanted it. We called the funeral homes, we called the churches, we called the police. We didn't know what to do with it, and nobody wanted them. So.
Oh my gosh.
We didn't had no clue about who the person was or anything. But
so what did you do with them?
I ended up burying them in my backyard.
Aww.
So, I didn't know what else to do with them. They told me to bury them, so that's what it is.
Wow. That would
nobody
be really wanted, difficult.
Yeah, you know, we called the police, we called the, you know, we called churches, we called funeral homes, and we even called the storage place. They didn't want it back, and the police didn't want it, and nobody wanted them. So, I was respectful. Sorry, guy. You know, for all I knew, it could have been the ashes of a dog. All I know, it was ashes of something. It was some kind of living thing at one time in life. So, but.
Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of.
But, having said that, everything else in between, I mean, there was one day my business partner came up and it was a day that was all day. It was filled with locker after locker after place after place after place. And so him and I just went together, and, you know, he was the financing behind the business. And so he was just like, kept. By the end of the day, we had spent around $1,500. We got, I don't know, like 8 or 10 storage units for that $1,500, and there was nothing in them, nothing that we could salvage.
Wow.
We never got our money back from that. So it's like what they show you on TV is like all these people making phenomenal money or and stuff like that. It doesn't happen. Maybe every now and then, but I'll tell you, there was one storage unit I went to where they lifted up the thing, and it was like, oh, my God. There is, like, tons of money in that place. There's tons of money there. I said, okay, in my head, I'll get up to $1,500. The price for that storage locker went to $12,000.
Wow.
Never saw it. So.
What's the name of the one with the two guys? There's a small guy, and then a big guy, and they do the storage thing too.
I don't know that. I've always seen it a couple of times.
Oh, I wish I could remember the name. Because the smaller guy kind of reminds me.
I can tell you that the competition and the interaction between the bidders does happen like that. I mean, if somebody doesn't like you.
Oh, yeah, they bid you up and stuff. Sure, they want to run your money out.
Yep, they'll run your money up, and then all of a sudden they'll just stop. Like, so And then you also have family members there who are trying to
get their stuff back, right?
Get the stuff back.
Thank you, Face. Alan Huff and Tun Jones. Thank you very much, Face. Face knows what I'm talking about. Auction Hunters.
Yeah.
That's the one I was talking about. Thank you very much, Face.
But anyways, as far as Storage Wars, I think it's laughable because they don't present it like it really happens. Although it may very well happen like that in L.A., but it certainly doesn't happen like that on the East Coast.
No.
You have to think about it. There's a reason why those lockers are not being paid for anymore.
Well.
And, you know, the two that I hit on, both of the people had deceased. The one at the beginning and the one at the end that I hit really big on, both of those people had deceased, and the family didn't want anything to do with anything inside, so they auctioned it off. So, but everything else was just people not being able to afford to pay for the $35 or $100 a month for the storage fee. And they got evicted from their apartment. They threw everything into a storage locker and then didn't pay that, and so it went up for auction. But
right, they got locked up. They can't get out.
Right, there's that too.
It only takes a couple of days. Once you pass, like say you're locked up for 3 months and you don't go to your storage locker, if it's not being kept up, they can just take it right then and there and just throw it right up on. And say, okay, it's up for auction.
Yep, absolutely. I think I was bidding against a family member one day, but I can't say for sure. Because by law, they're not supposed to be there, so they can never announce who they are.
That Alan Huff on Auction Hunters kind of reminds me of now I'm going to forget his name. Matt on Big Brother.
Oh, really?
He does. There's something about his...
Matt.
Character.
BB12 Matt?
Yes. There's something about him that just reminds me of Matt. I want to see if Face thinks so, too. If...
I thought
there's a little bit of delay, so I want to see if Face agrees with me. He just has some characteristics that remind me of Matt from BB12. And every time I see that show and see Alan Huff, he reminds me of Matt. And I don't know if it's a little bit of the looks, but also in the way he talks and some of his characteristics are the same. And he says, yeah, both are quirky, yeah. So I guess there's something about him that reminds me of Matt, and I can't get over it. I can't get past it. Every time I see him, I think of Matt.
You met Matt in L.A., right, Sherry?
Pardon me?
You met Matt in L.A., didn't you?
Yes, I did. I got my picture taken with him, actually.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Yep.
He was there. You know who was there that I didn't see was Memphis and... Memphis, I didn't see that night, and...
to see Memphis either.
No, Memphis was there, and also... what's the other one's name? He got evicted first that season.
Brian?
And Brian was there, too.
I didn't get to see Brian either.
Yeah.
I don't know where they were. Neither one got to see them, but...
I don't know. Maybe they were just hiding from the crowd, but...
They must have been in a corner or something that...
The whole Jeff and Jordan thing, because once they stepped in, forget it.
Yeah. It was security everywhere once they came in. Once Jeff and Jordan came in and Brendan and Rachel.
Right.
It was just, crazy just after that.
Yeah, once Janelle came in, that's when it got crazy.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I was sitting right there next to them when Rachel and Janelle finally met face to face. It
oh
was
my God.
So much fun. I was sitting right there, and my camera was going snap, 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 snap. You know? I mean, they were like two little schoolgirls, just jumping up and down, going, oh! You know? It was so much fun watching them. I mean, Rachel was literally, like, so thrilled to meet Janelle. And Janelle was thrilled to meet Rachel, too. I mean, it was mutual. And to see them finally meet face-to-face was so much fun. And it was so much fun. Just sitting there watching them, it was great. I was just snapping my camera as fast as I could. It was a lot of fun.
Sweet. There's a clicking on my phone. My DirecTV is calling me in.
Ah, I heard that. I heard a little click.
They call me in. They say, hey, we want to update the service. Get off the phone, you big blabbermouth.
My Glenco does that to me once in a while.
I just want to make a clarification that the guy I know from high school that didn't actually work on Big Brother, he is a producer. But he only worked with Bobby Cass. He was offered to work on Big Brother several times, but he never did because of the logistics. But he's glad he doesn't because he's a fan of the show, and he watches it all the time. So I just wanted to get that out there. That's all. It's still pretty cool, though.
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely.
Well, I'd like to find out what everyone's favorite show of 2011 is that we did on the Rad Reality Show this year was. Who was your favorite guest that we had, and what was your favorite show that we did this year?
My favorite show is where I got to talk to Brendan and Rachel. Because I remember that show. I was sneaking around talking to them at work in the back room.
My favorite show was a show that we did when Ron was still alive, and it was in February of 2011, and that's when Samuel Dew had called in. And I wound up having that big hysterical, busted out laugh segment. And I will never forget that show. And we didn't have any guests. It was just us. So I got to say that was one of the highlights. Yeah, exactly, Frogger. The one with Lane and Ron's impression. Yeah. It was a huge highlight. After that, a lot of the Manic Monday shows hit high notes for me big time. Lots of them. Like, I cannot pinpoint just one. We've had so many good ones. And I've spoken to so many people.
Yeah, it's so hard to pick a favorite. I'm looking at the chat room now, and Jeff is talking about Shelley's show, and Jen says her favorite is with Lane, and that Ron's impression of him still makes her laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff the Dude says, it was great talking to Lawan, and that was the night that he called in. And Lola says,
oh, yeah, when we talked to Jonathan Penner.
Oh, yeah, Penner's
that
always
that was hysterical.
Great.
And Kaiser and Ralph, and Ralph was dropping. You guys were trying to get Ralph to crow. And have him, you know, do a drop for you guys, a sound drop for you guys for the Rad Show. And he couldn't say it right.
I know.
That was hysterical.
Aw, Lola said best shows were around silly game nights. Aw.
We had a lot of shows that really, really, really pulled it all together. And I'm not going to get emotional, but if it was not for Paul and Cherry and everybody else that worked behind the scenes, whether it was a celebrity guest, whether it was Ben, or whether it was Panther, or whether it was, you know, Christina working the switchboards, well, it didn't matter who was doing what. You know, each show, the progression just got better and better and better, and you guys hit your stride so well. And when Big Brother came around, you didn't have to fuel the fire anymore. You were already steaming across. So I think it was a great year all the way through. You know, it was a ton of fun. And I know you're going to be emotional, so don't, Cherry.
Oh, I'm trying not to. I'm trying so hard.
But we did. We had a lot of fun here. You know, some things, you know, might not work out the way you planned them to be. You know, you can't make excuses for others. You know, you can't shut it down when you've got Costa, Kansas, Anne-Marie, me, you, chatting all at once. Forget about it if we're doing a Housewives. Oh, my God, forget about it. But, you know, then we also have the other times where we're talking about serious stuff, like Paul had brought up about the people's journeys that are on The Biggest Loser and, you know, what they go through. We hit it all.
Well, my bully conversation with Shelley was pretty.
Yeah.
I like that day, too.
Yeah. And it came. Right, and each time that you guys had a show that had major significance came when there was an event that was just the perfect timing to have that show.
Right.
It wasn't like you guys planned it out 3 weeks in advance either. So,
no.
You know, the shows wound up being really, really good. You know, wow. I just think it's great.
It's been an interesting year.
And you know, the best part was with Joe and Cherry came out to New Hampshire. I was so thrilled. Absolutely thrilled to have you all here on our home turf. That was very, really special. I really enjoyed having you all here.
It was an honor to be there. I tell you, I couldn't believe what you all did for me, and it was an absolute honor to be there, and the thoughtfulness and what you all did was just amazing. And, you know, the people that are in this, what I still term the Rad Reality family, are just some of the biggest-hearted people in the world, and I love you all so much, and I hope you all know that.
We do.
I know.
Paul had to leave.
He got a call from it's a family issue that he had to slip away for, and he had to leave. I don't know if he's going to be able to make it back before the end of the show, but he did have to slip away.
Oh, that's all right.
To bring back a few memories. This is a song that Ron used to play, and this is a song for somebody that's in the chat room. I'm going to play a little song before we go anywhere. I think she knows who this song is for.
too fast. My head's pounding like a dynamite blast. Tried to sleep in on Saturday. This hangover sure having its way. But good thing the dogs are playing UT on the TV, 'cause that's reason enough for me to get a six-pack of Remedy. I got my buzz back, now I'm feeling alright. Ain't nothing gonna hold me down tonight, 'cause I'm a pilot of this party flight. And I'm calling my buddies, it's going down. Bringing last night's good time back around with a couple of beers and my good friend Jack. I got my buzz back, I got my buzz back, yeah. 7 digits sitting in my phone. The thought of her won't leave me alone. There was making out and making plans, and maybe tonight we can do it again, yeah. Got the nerve to call her up and said it's me. Hey cutie, how about a bottle of wine and a movie, and you cuddling up close to me. We got that love back and we're feeling alright. Ain't nothing gonna hold us down tonight. Baby, come on over. Night's good time back around with some Chardonnay and a sweet soundtrack. We got that buzz back, we got that buzz back, get your buzz back. I'm the pilot of this party flight, and I'm calling my buddies, it's going down. Bringing last night's good time back around with a couple of beers and my good friend Jack. I got my buzz back and I'm feeling alright. Ain't nothing gonna hold me down tonight, 'cause I'm the pilot of this party flight, and I'm calling my buddies, it's going down. Bringing last night's good time back around with a couple of beers and my old friend Jack. I got my buzz back, I got my buzz back. Everybody get your buzz back, get your buzz back, yeah. Hey, get your buzz back.
That was going out to Miss Jen Frog in the chat room.
Yay.
I used to play that song, and Jen and I termed that our song. We used to beg him to play that song for us. Welcome back, Paul.
Hi. Gabor!
Yes, we have Mr. Gabor in the chat room with us. Always glad to see him.
Right, Gabor.
Yes, anything good?
Hey, can somebody tell Gabor that I love him to death and I'm not in the chat room, so I can't tell him myself, but he already knows that. But one of the sweetest guys I've ever met.
Isn't he sweet?
In case you don't recognize the voice, that's John Crocker. He said thank you.
Oh, he heard me.
Yes.
Yeah, you're
on the air, John.
One thing that Boom Boom mentioned is that it's Michelle Costa's birthday today.
Absolutely.
So
we want to wish the Portuguese princess.
I wished her happy birthday at 12:07 last night.
Yeah, I think I saw that. I don't know.
Hey,
if
John, I have to respond. Gabor just said, "Oh, my God, it's God. I love you more, God."
He's a sweetheart.
All right, so I wound up getting something queued up, and I don't know if I can get it to play correctly for you guys or not. Well, I'm going to try my darndest. And it's Just a real quickie, and it's for Michelle Kosser, and it's since it's the last show for this year. Let me see if I can do this. Let's see. Don't know, but we'll give it a try.
Birthday.
You guys hear this?
Birthday too, yeah.
Your birthday.
We're gonna have a good time. Hey, I'm glad it's your birthday.
That was great, Michelle.
I had to do it just a little different, you know, for the Portuguese princess. So I didn't want it to go the full 2 minutes and 41 seconds, but there you go.
That's great.
A little Looney Tunes from the Looney Bin.
That was Looney Tunes?
Yeah, that was Bugs Bunny, Taz, Daffy Duck.
Oh, cool. Almost a little bit of the house rodent type of sound to it for a bit there.
Oh, well, I didn't speed it up at all. So that's the way it sounds. I'm glad that you guys got it.
One of the cartoon characters sounded a little like that is what I was getting at.
It was probably Taz, because Taz really doesn't talk, but just a little different, something a little bit different for us.
We definitely want to wish the Portuguese princess happy birthday and an awesome year, because we know she had a rough year this past year. So
yes, she did.
Hopefully this next coming year will be a wonderful year for her.
I agree.
And I don't think I've ever played this theme song. Have I ever played Lola's theme song?
Lola,
I'm waiting for see if she responds.
Just play it.
All right. Here we go. Lola and a little bit of a Jeep. I'm glad you like it, Lola. Hey, John, did I ever play your revamped one?
No.
Uh-oh.
All right. Here's John's revamped one that I did.
Hey, this is Benny Crocker.
Okay.
I'm supposed to call in for John Crocker. Ooh. He asked me.
Will you look at that?
John.
Yeah, you know my weakness.
Hello. Mm.
I'm Benny Crocker.
Really, go for it.
You did it again.
John.
Crocker.
John.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That was me.
Yeah. John.
John Gabor asked that if you will please sing us a song.
Oh, God, no. Terry, you were here. You should know better. Don't you remember karaoke night, the first night? And I had to do, what was it that I did?
I did. Oh, gosh, what did I do?
Jen, you just talked about what a sweet, sweet person Gabor is. Now, how could you turn him down?
Because I don't want to hurt him. You don't hurt the people you love. It's bad enough I hurt them that night at Toys for Tots. I had a few in me.
That was a fun night.
Some people would be like, wow, that's a really good singer, and they're all for it. And some people are like, oh, wow, that's a really funny singer, and everyone's laughing. Everyone around me were just stunned. They were just sat there like, oh, my God, stop. Like, just stop.
I don't know where I was when you sang, because I don't think I heard you sing.
It was pretty bad. I was expecting the Kenny Rogers version of Rocky Top, and I got the hoedown country like version, like kind of like Cotton Eye Joe style. It was awful. Not to keep up with that. But
I don't think I heard that. I don't know where I would have been that night, but.
You know, I'm trying to think where I was. I mean, I know I was in front of the screen most of the time, and I'm like,
did you see Thursday night on the screen?
Oh, wait.
With the poker?
No.
That's where it was.
That's why, because I pretty much didn't leave my chair the whole rest of the weekend once Friday came.
So, it was just like, I was singing some other song. I was like mouthing some words at the end of poker that I wanted to sing a song. And by the time I got up to the room, it turned it into the Rocky Top song. And it was totally the wrong song, so it caught me completely off guard. And I just went with it, and it was horrible.
I'll tell you who really blew me away that night was Jen DiTerno.
Wasn't she awesome?
Oh, my God.
You mean when she rapped the M&Ms?
Her and Ronnie both.
Her and Ronnie both blew me away. But when she did that rap song, I mean, her singing was awesome. But when she did that rap song, I was just like, I was almost geared ready to catch her because I thought she was going to, like, pass out from not breathing because she was, like, singing so hard and there was so many words to that song. It was like she wouldn't catch a breath, you know, before she, I don't even know how to explain it. She was just like,
she was rapping,
spitting out so many words with one breath. That I was amazed, and I thought she was just going to pass out. She was just like, and she'd go again, you know, and she was just awesome. That girl, just the whole place, even people sitting at the bar, like just the whole place.
Oh, they were amazed.
Stopped.
They were all amazed. We were all stunned.
Everybody turned and was completely tuned in to her. And she had everyone's attention. It was amazing.
The song I was going to sing that I wanted to request, and this is what alcohol does to you. The song that I was singing to myself at the poker table was I'm the Happiest Girl in the Whole USA. It's completely different than Rocky Top.
Yeah, just a bit.
So by the time we got out to the DJ, I requested, can you sing Rocky Top? He said, can you do Rocky Top? He goes, yep, put your name down. I was like, okay. So even right up to when he called my name and I was going up there, I was totally expecting to sing Happiest Girl in the New USA, and all of a sudden Rocky Top came up, and I was like, So that's how that happened. But Ronnie, just as amazing as Jen DiTerno, he has some pretty good pipes on himself.
What did he wind up singing?
Who, Ronnie? I don't. He sang a couple of show tunes, I think. I think he did some show tunes from a couple of the plays that he's done. So, and a couple of them were really funny as hell. And just he did a little short little, three or four. Four liner songs, and that was it. I mean, the song was over before it even started, but it was just terrible. I remember
what was that one song he did that was so funny? Gosh, I can't remember what it was now. He did one that was hysterical.
Yeah, we have to ask him which one that is.
Hey, guys.
And he did a show tune, too.
Yes, he did a show tune in that little stick book song. But Gabor would love to sing him a song. I can tell Gabor myself. I would love to sing him a song someday, but we'll have to be abandoned in the middle of Rancho Cucamonga, Vegas.
Sounds
again,
like a date. Sounds like a date. Go.
So, maybe in the middle of the desert on the way to Vegas again some other time.
Bring a shovel, dig the hole, and take a video.
I don't know if anybody saw it on my Facebook, the picture of me in the blonde wig. Anybody see that?
I did, yes.
Yeah.
That was you in the blonde wig?
That was me. 17. I was like 17 or, 16 or 17 when I was doing Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta at the same time. And at some point, I still have that on video somewhere. I want to get that up on Facebook so people can see what I actually did that night. Because my boob really did fall out at the end of that.
Hey, can I acknowledge a new person in the chat room and one of the few people I've ever checked that has a bio on their blog talk name?
Absolutely.
Elvis Expert Corey. And this is what Corey's, not the Corey that we knew about. Elvis historian expert Corey Cooper, a frequent source of books, radio shows, movies, and television projects about Elvis Presley and his life and music, has appeared on numerous radio stations across the United States and Canada, from local stations to nationally syndicated shows. Corey was recently a guest on Coast to Coast with George Noory and has worked internet radio and written for Elvis Publications and E! Online. Corey has a wealth of friends and contacts in the Elvis world. That includes authors, performers, friends, and members of the Memphis Mafia, the close group of friends and employees that worked with and protected Elvis Presley.
Wow.
Welcome, Corey.
Welcome, Corey. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Hello, Corey.
That's awesome.
Well, I'm going to have to get off here for now, guys, but I just wanted to call and put in my 2 cents. And
yeah, John, I don't know, get off 2 cents. You're talking in code again.
John, thank you so much for joining us on our final show of 2011.
Oh, many more in 2012.
Absolutely.
Happy New Year's.
Happy New
you
Year.
And
you, all.
You and Harlan have a very safe and happy New Year.
Yeah. Harlan has
don't do anything I wouldn't do.
Praying that we get off the phone so you can watch this TV. So, all right, we'll talk to you all later.
All right, take care, babe.
I have fun in the chat room. Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye, Michelle.
Bye, John.
Dina, you're being very quiet.
I'm learning the whole new word of patience. This last word.
You got to jump in. Like, completely, like.
This is what I love about this show. This is exactly what I love. We have talked about everything tonight. And I love this.
That's what we do. You never know what might come up on the Rad Reality Show.
Yeah, I can make a left turn in a heartbeat, you know? How do you lose a NASCAR race driver? You make a right turn. I'm making left turns all over the place. Such bad jokes getting laughs. That's not right. That's pity laughs.
I say come on down. Give it a try.
Gabor, we don't know where the birthday girl is. She had to cancel Monday's show. I don't know if you talked when I was off the air about that or not, Jerry.
No, she got married. That's all I know.
I know she went out to dinner last night with her mom and dad, so other than that, I don't know what plans she had. I hope she's having a great time wherever she is and whatever she's doing. I hope she's having a blast. I'm sure that her friends up there probably have her out doing something fun.
Yeah, definitely. Paul, what are your plans for the new year? What are you doing to welcome in the new year?
I have no plans. I don't do that celebration. I haven't done that in years.
Well, okay, so you're not going out and eating a bunch of food with a bunch of friends and just listening to stories. You're going to sit home and chop music up for, well, and tagging all the people here, right?
I haven't put it out there yet, but I rarely also make New Year's resolutions, but I'm going to make one this year, and I really hope I can stick to it and get back on Facebook and Twitter, because I have really, it's like a habit, I guess, you know, you're used to it, and I stopped doing it, and I'm going to get back to it, so I will try. Somebody did bring it up, and I don't know, again, if we talked about it when I was off the air, but did anybody join Joe on his Christmas Eve show?
I didn't make it. I had so much going on.
I did for a little while.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad because I was like being medicated. So, and you know, on my defense, I kind of didn't want to sit there and listen to Christmas music. I was strictly laying on the couch.
I had been shopping all day. My last minute.
Yeah,
shopping extravaganza.
That was
been out.
Me, Cherry.
I had been shopping all day, but I beat Pete home and fired up the pooter and logged in and went in and chatted with them for a while and told them, you know, that I was exhausted and I was going to fall over on my couch and just listen for a while, which I did, and then after I relaxed for a while, I jumped back in the chat room for a while and said goodnight when it was over and chatted with people for a few minutes again and said goodnight. And so I was present somewhat. I just wasn't totally.
Were you hearing it? Ben just said in the chat that the web page had no player on it or something. He just said that in the chat room. It worked for you?
Through the computer. I was not able to get into a chat. And I listened to it and I hate to say this, but I was extremely busy, but said that I would listen, and I made it an effort to do it, and did so for just a little while, and Joe's got that great radio voice. There's no doubt about it. And just hearing a friend's voice over the computers was good enough for me that night. It really was.
Aww.
It really was.
You're such a sweetheart.
And so, Cherry, what are you going to be doing for New Year's?
Well, I'm not really sure. Normally, Rich and I don't go out on New Year's or on 4th of July because of the fireworks, and I don't like to leave my dogs at home. I know that sounds horrible. You know, I stay home for my dogs. But with all the fireworks and everything, I hate to leave them at home by themselves with, all the bangs and booms and fireworks going off. But because of the nice weather, Rich asked me if maybe I'd like to go out this New Year's Eve, and we are considering it, but they've just changed the forecast a little bit to include the possibility of some rain and dropping temperatures. So we may be doing our usual staying in, popping a bottle of champagne and, you know, staying home with the dogs and having a safe at-home New Year's Eve like usual. So,
Michelle,
not sure yet.
You said, oh, the memories. Have you actually been on Times Square for one of the
Yeah, I've done a lot of crazy stuff, and yeah, all the memories and the stuff that came right before I typed all the memories, so yeah.
What do you want, Michelle? What's your plan?
My plans is that I'm staying home. I'm staying in. I am not drinking. I am not celebrating because I am still on medication, and I don't want to be out driving around where I'm at right now because they are looking for anybody to pull over for any reason. So even if I went to a friend's house, I just don't even want to be hassled. And my friends are all having parties, and they're about 45 minutes away, and I wouldn't stay at their house. It's just, it's not something that I would do. Again, you know, since I have this stupid tooth thing, I just don't want to take any chances drinking with any of the meds that I'm on. But, I will be welcoming it in. If I had a gun, I would be doing just what the locals would be doing, and that's firing the guns out in the air. I will not be setting off any fireworks because even though we haven't had any rain or snow, there's still leaves outside that can catch on fire. We just started to get, the ground frozen at this point. So I'll be watching it from the television, and like I said, I'll be spying and making sure none of my nieces are getting arrested on the sides or, you know.
Don't cause a forest fire.
No, I know, I'm real good at it. Well, we all know that I have a basin full of water. So if there was anything, I could run in the basement and scoop it out and pour it on the fire. Because turning on the fire will just freeze from the spigot.
I'll tell you what, because you're such a good friend, I'll take up your space on drinking this year.
There you go. You can have a drink for Michelle and a drink for me.
Tilt a couple of Coors Lights back for me because that's what I'm really craving. I mean,
okay.
I have a little bit of I don't often crave like far off beers. I'm having a craving for a Beck's or a Heineken, but my casual beer of choice is Coors Light. So,
even if I have to buy a six pack and I can't buy a whole. Just one or two beers, I will go ahead and buy that six-pack, and I tell you what, I'll post a picture on it on Facebook.
Oh, you're so funny. Thank you so much. That's it, everybody. Post me.
Now, that's
everybody,
a friend for you.
That's it. Everybody, post me your drinking pictures. Blow up my Facebook wall. Post me your drinking pictures and your pictures from New Year's. This way I can celebrate vicariously through you guys. And if not, at least I get to laugh at you.
This may be a dumb question, but I don't care.
I gotcha.
The locals shoot their guns into the air. Are there bullets in those guns or are there blanks?
No, they're bullets.
They're bullets.
Oh, yeah.
Does anybody ever get hit by them when they come to Earth?
No.
I always
think
about
no.
that. When we see, these people in the Middle East or wherever, that are shooting off their guns in the streets and firing them in the air, I'm always thinking about that. As a matter of fact, we just had a young boy, I don't know, 7, 8 years old. He was just a youngster that got struck in his house by a stray bullet that went through his house and killed him just yesterday or the day before yesterday. So
yeah.
Does that ever happen?
Well, over here in the Bronx, yeah, the people in the Bronx don't shoot their guns up in the air. They shoot them at the buildings. But around here, further north of the Bronx, it's rare. You're shooting it straight up in the air. I mean, it's just what you're doing. And if you're with a bunch of people and you are shooting your gun off, you pretty much are doing it on your own private property where you have an acre. It's not like you have 20 feet where your car is parked and you're just standing on the road and popping the gun off. That won't fly, because you're not allowed to shoot a gun within 45. You're not allowed to shoot a gun within 400 yards of a house when you're hunting. But they got to find you in order to catch you to do that. But yeah, at any rate, no, the bullets go straight up in the air over here. How about over there, Dina?
You don't want to know.
I do. No, I know. I know. You guys roll out the hay and you guys hit the targets that are on the hay. I got it. I know.
Oh, I swear to God, 2008, they shot the water tower.
Yeah. Like, you know, but those majority of the people would just be hanging out and chilling, but there would be those couple of goofballs that'll say, "Betcha I can pin that." And there they go.
We're necessarily trying to hit this huge thing that is standing right above them, so to speak. But yes, the water tower was hit. And I mean, it wasn't like this big gushing water come out, but there was an issue. There was an issue. But I mean, this is North Carolina. There are rednecks, and there are, in parts of North Carolina, there are hillbillies and rednecks, which with guns is never a good mixture, but with beer. But I'm sure that there are sad stories out there, and such as what Paul was speaking of. But hopefully with people, you know, with the drinking and with guns, somebody's got some common sense somewhere in the crowd, and we'll keep it calm. I'm having the same crowd that I had over for Christmas. They're coming back for New Year's, so they'll all be at my house. We provide a cab. There's people that will be taking these people. They all live within 5 miles. And there'll be a good crowd over here, and I'm looking forward to not spending the money in the bars and having my friends at my house and getting them home safe. That's the deal for me.
That's it. And yeah,
Dina.
Yeah, wherever you're living, you know, I mean, it's out there. There's tons of radio broadcasting information about getting a cab. Don't worry about it, where you are. AAA has offered to give cab rides if you can't make it. Worst case is that you confiscate everybody's keys, and let them cry to you later about it. But they'll at least be able to cry.
There's lots of free cabs on New Year's Eve. If you have to stay at your friend's house, do whatever you have to do, but do not drink and drive. Somebody just posted in the chat room that there is a number, 1-800-222-4357, and that is Tipsy Toe, offered by AAA, and they will take you and your car home for free. So
just check with your AAA locations, call ahead of time. Even the radio station that you are listening to, they are broadcasting, and you just have to just tweet to them and say, "Yo, we're at a party, we need some cabs," and I bet you the radio station will be like, "Oh, you're listening to us? Sure, we want you guys to get home safe. We'll shoot you over a bunch of cabs." Like, it doesn't matter, just don't be stupid. We want everybody to come back, and chill out again for, next year. And everybody that's hosting a party, has to be just as responsible. Like Dana says, you're going to hang out, you're going to be home, you're going to have, your friends over. It's all of that. It's all of that, Unfortunately, with the people that live in the back roads, with the people that have tons of property, they drink and drive on their own property and things happen to them. And there's not much you can do. You really can't do. But, if you can take their keys away, then go for it. And damn, it brought me back to a show I wanted to talk about.
Okay, somebody else is saying that that is an incorrect number and that that was a hoax. But anyway, just plan ahead. Take a designated driver. Make sure that you're not going to drink and drive. It's not that hard to be safe and plan ahead. So.
I don't know if this is the law in every state, but back in my drinking days, I discovered that even if you are in your car parked in a parking lot outside of a bar, you can get charged DUI if you're in your car drunk.
If the key is in the ignition.
You can't. If you have, even if you're sitting in the passenger seat, if you have the keys to your car and you're in your car and you're drunk, you can be charged with DUI.
I think it's. It has to be in the ignition. I know for New York, it has to be in the ignition.
Depends on the state. I did not have my keys in the ignition, but I had them on my, in my possession, like Cherry mentioned. So.
Yeah, I don't think they have to be in the ignition. If as long as you have them in your possession, you can be charged and. It's scary. I mean, you don't want to have that against your record. And
oh, my God, no. Let me tell you, I've been down that road several times back in the day, and, I thought I was being responsible that time, going to my car and saying, okay, I'm just going to sleep it off in here, but nope.
No, and I know somebody that just had that exact thing happen. They didn't have the key in the ignition, and they were in the car, sleeping it off, so to speak. But because they were in the car sleeping it off and they were loaded and they were, you know, in possession of their keys and in their car, they were given a DUI. And it can happen to anyone. I mean, and we're obviously in two different states, so I imagine it's that way in many, many states across the U.S.
Yes. The laws are always changing and always, you know, for the safety of others. So whatever it takes, you know.
Yeah, you don't. Not only do you not want that against your record, but you don't want to put others in harm's way. So just be safe. That's our message. And we want to wish everyone a wonderful, happy New Year. Hope everyone has a blast. Do what you do. Have fun. Have one for me. Have one for Paul. Have one for Michelle. Dina's going to have one for all of us, yeah. Right, Dina?
For sure on that.
If she's going to have one for every one of us, better start right now and space it out a little bit, or she remember the New Year.
Let's just remember one thing, and you guys hit it right on the spot. I'm hosting this. I know this ahead of time. I've planned ahead of this. If you are out and about, let me just say one thing. If you're even thinking about getting in that car, you're making a mistake, number one. You know it, and don't even do it. So there's plenty of places that are offering free rides. If they're doing it here in Raleigh, North Carolina, then I know they're doing it from around in other areas. So please keep that in mind, folks. And more importantly, it is the end of the year. And thank you, guys. What a trying year that the Ron Reality show had. And you guys kept it together with Michael and, I mean, a host of everybody from all of the shows. I don't want to leave anybody out. But, Michelle, happy birthday. But fans, and once again, you guys really pulled it together this year, and thank you so much, and I'm so looking forward to next year. I really am. I'm looking forward to the shows, and I'm looking forward to what people have to say about it. That's the biggest
thing. Thanks for that, Dina. I appreciate it. You've been such a supporter and a quality one. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Dina. You have such eloquent words, and as Paul said, you have been such a wonderful supporter of our show, and I can't thank you enough. And it's hard. You know, I think of Ron so much during these holidays, and I miss him so much. And it's hard to see all of these people that he brought together, and I just miss him. I know he would be so proud to be here and see everyone, and I just know he would be thrilled to know that you all are still coming and here supporting the show. And thank you so much for your kind words.
Thank you, Cherry. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Nina.
And you too, Michelle. You've been a great addition, and we just love what you bring when you come on, and we miss you when you're not. So always feel free to join in.
Thank you so much. Seems like we're getting a little bit of a plan here. For those that are staying home, if we can tag each other, we're either going to be doing a Skype or maybe even a tiny chat for our New Year's.
Well, you never know. We might even throw up a show. Who knows?
We could just go informal and just go, you know, go rogue on tiny chat. I think I know a DJ.
There you go.
So what we'll do is we'll touch base with everybody either on your Facebook or on Twitter, and if it's something that we're going to do, all right, Panther's just saying, we're going to do it. Let's do it in the BB Fan Club room in Tiny Chat. We'll figure out what times work for everybody. Bring your beverage and food of choice and request.
All right.
Yeah, we'll just do it. Yeah, we'll do it. Yeah,
we'll have a party in the BB Fan Club Tiny Chat room.
Well, let's just do it, you know, even for those that are blowing through. The only thing is that the I love you guy can't show up. Who I do not want another I love you. I can drink if I'm home. It doesn't matter now. I can run. Gives me a reason to run out and buy some beer. All right. So, everyone check your Facebook pages, Twitter, and remind each other if you need to call each other, and then we'll see what's happening, and we'll do what we need to do. I'm ready for a virtual hangover. What a great way to end the year.
Absolutely.
Holy. That would be great.
I want to send a shout out to my friend Big John.
Yay.
I hope he's feeling better. He's got to get better and get out of that hospital.
Yeah, Dan. Feel better,
stop,
Dan.
Stop chasing those nurses and get out of there. We want you better and home and back in Vegas, baby. So, thank you all so much for being here with us. Thank you for helping us do our last show of 2011. It's been fun. We've had John Crocker and Michelle and Dina and a lot of people up here on the phone line with us to help us close out this final show of the year. And Paul, do you have anything else to mention before we close?
Not really. I guess we need to talk about it, but in my mind, I'm not sure about upcoming shows. I know for sure there will be one for Manic Monday on the 2nd, but with Survivor having ended, we'll have to see about the following Thursday, but we'll talk about that, right, Cherry?
Yeah, I think we're going to be doing basically reality show chat, talking about probably Mob Wives, Top Chef, whatever reality shows are current right now, and
Okay.
Roll with that until Survivor kicks back in. And
Real
Housewives of Real Housewives of whatever Tina says.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
It's gonna be Orange County, unfortunately. Oh, I think.
February 19th, we will be starting the Sunday shows back up with the Amazing Race. Thursday will be, as I said, Mob Wives, Top Chef, and whatever those shows are that we want to talk about that are reality-based. If you have a favorite and you want to talk about it, call in. Let's talk about it. That's what the show's about. So that'll be our Thursday show until Survivor kicks back in. And I don't have a starting time for Survivor right now. But Face is saying sometime in March. So that will be our Thursday show until Survivor. But again, I want to thank everyone for joining us. Have a safe and happy new year. Love you all so dearly. Take care. Hope to see everybody in the BB Fan Club tiny chat room. For those of you who are staying home, join us there. I'm going to close out the show with Ron, as I always do. And let's see. I think I'm going to do Ron singing.
Tonight, it was a great show. And thank you guys for coming. And I'm going to quit off the show with a song and something that is truly, I say thank you to y'all, like something working. Say thank you for coming to the show. You are so great and I love you all. We thank you. We thank you for coming to the show. And we, okay, fuck. I couldn't get the switchboard to work. Talk to you guys later.
Good night, all. I'll talk to you in 2012.
Good night.
Good night.